Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to be based out of today. I don't know if you've recognized it. I think we've mentioned it, but we're in a series on the kingdom. Terrell started with a few services in regards to the sower and how the sower and the kingdom principles behind sowing and reaping and the different types of soil that can be with the sower. And then I took a little bit of time and we dealt with what is the kingdom and what the substance of the kingdom, that's the righteousness, joy, and peace, and the power of the kingdom, which is the love. And this week we're going to deal with the conduit of the kingdom. And it's dealing with faith. So Matthew chapter 6 is not normally where a person would go for a faith message, except for one thing. This is where Jesus said to the disciples, "This then is how you pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." The Lord's Prayer. It is not meant to be a formula. It is not meant to be a ritual that is repeated without faith. It is meant as a daily prayer for everything that is listed here. It doesn't even have to be prayed exactly quoted. Jesus is wanting us to know that every day we are to praise Him. He's wanting us to know that every day His kingdom and will is to be evident in our lives. He is wanting us every day to rely on Him for our daily provision, where more often than not, we rely on our bank account for our provision, or we rely on our jobs. But we're supposed to rely on God. Now, He gives us the bank accounts and He gives us the jobs. But if our faith is in the bank, then our faith is not based on God. If our faith is in our employment, then our faith is not in God. We are to daily remember the forgiveness that we have been given. And we are daily supposed to forgive as we have been forgiven. We are to daily avoid succumbing to temptation. We're to daily resist the devil. Daily. All with God's help, but daily. Verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Daily, this is what we're supposed to be looking for. It's not just the bread that's the daily thing. It's the kingdom. It's His will to be done in our lives. And that can be difficult because we look at the kingdom, and some people, they look at the kingdom as being a far-off time in the future when we all of a sudden die and we're in the heavenly realm. That's what they say is the kingdom. Well, if that's the case, then why would Jesus say that that's how we're supposed to pray daily? That His kingdom be evident on earth as it is in heaven. If it's supposed to be evident on earth, then that means that we have to be alive in order for it to be evident. And I'm not talking that means you have to live forever. I'm saying that every one of us has a part to play in showing the kingdom to this world. Every one of us has a part to play in having His will being done in our lives. The kingdom came with Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His kingdom will come and be without end." When? When unto us a child is born. So the kingdom all of a sudden come. What did Jesus preach when He first got into His ministry? In Matthew 4:17, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." John the Baptist, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So does "at hand" mean for them beyond 2,000 years? No. The kingdom of God is present. Why? Because Jesus is there. That's why. Why is it present now? Because you are there. And you have Jesus in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went around proclaiming God's kingdom. And He was also healing the sick. He healed all who was there. Acts chapter 10, verse 23 says that, I believe that's the one, it says that he was out there healing all. And He was showing them the true way. Why? Because Jesus was with him. God was with him. The kingdom was there. The Spirit led him. And He was healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Then Luke 17, verses 20 to 21. Let's read that one. Luke 17. "Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming," let me ask you, have you asked that question? When is the kingdom of God coming? I have. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. "He answered and said to them, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed.'" Think about that. Think about how that is there. What is everyone saying nowadays? The kingdom of God is coming. Look at all the signs. No, that's not how it goes. The kingdom of God is not coming with signs. The kingdom of God is coming with Jesus. "For unto us a child is born." The kingdom is on because of you. You are the kingdom of God. Verse 21. "Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." Put that up in the New King James Version, please. "For behold," indeed, "the kingdom of God is within you." It's within you. It's in your midst. What does that mean? And you look at the Greek in this one, and it means either within you, or in your midst, or among you. So I look at it that it is within me, and it is around me. And that means, when I walk into a room, the kingdom of God has shown up. But it's not just about me. It's you as well. If you have Christ living within you, Christ is the ruler of the kingdom. In fact, it tells us in Revelation chapter 5, I believe it is, that we have been made kings and priests in the kingdom of God. And so that means we are rulers in the kingdom of God. If we are children of God, that means we are princes and princesses. I'd like to put my emphasis in the wrong syllables. Why do I open my mouth? So if the kingdom of God is within you, I feel my face going red. If the kingdom of God is in you or it's in the midst of you, what is the kingdom of heaven? What is this thing? Well, Romans 14, 17, we talked about it. The kingdom of heaven is not about eating or drinking, which is not about eating or drinking. It's about everything. It's not about stuff, but about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the substance of the kingdom. The power of the kingdom is love. We can't do any of these things without love, because if we do these things without love, then they mean absolutely nothing. Everything we do is supposed to be out of love. Love for the Father, love for those around us. But then we also are not supposed to do things without faith, because it says anything you do without faith is sin. If you need to have those references and stuff like that, look at the past few sermons that I preached here on YouTube, and you will find it. But the righteousness is not ours, it's God's. It's supernatural. Because our righteousness is what? As filthy rags. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that God placed on him, upon Jesus, the sins of us all, him who knew no sin, to be sin, so that we can become the righteousness of God. It's not about our righteousness. It's not about what you do. I also preached a message on that. That it's not about what you do, because this is righteousness that is based on God and his viewpoint of you. And so we have God's righteousness on us, in us, among us, through us. Then you look at the peace. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. We won't read it, but rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, let your gentleness be known to all men. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with thanksgiving, make your supplications and prayers be known to God, and what? The peace that is beyond all understanding. The peace that you have is beyond your understanding. Why? Because Jesus said, I bring you peace. It's in John chapter 14. But the peace that I bring is not the peace that the world knows. And we always base it on how the world or how we've always known peace. But it's a peace that's beyond all understanding. It even is a peace that when something is going awry, when it is completely not known what's going on in our lives, when all hell is broken loose, there's a peace that is beyond all understanding. And when all hell is breaking loose in your life, be the ruler of the kingdom and bring heaven. Peace beyond all understanding. You know, we can't even explain the joy. First Peter chapter 1, verse 8 says that is that he has come so that our joy may be full. But it's a joy that is beyond our expressions, an inexpressible joy. Or in the King James, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy that we cannot explain. And we can't even know the level of love. It goes beyond what we can ever think. When you think of agape love, we usually call it unconditional love, but that doesn't even explain it properly. Ephesians chapter 3:19 says that it's a love that's beyond our knowledge. So you think on that. You have peace that's beyond our understanding. You have joy that's beyond anything that we could ever express. And we have a love that surpasses all of our knowledge. It's supernatural. I can sit here and talk and talk and talk and talk until I'm blue in the face. And I will never be able to explain to you what the peace, the joy, and the love of the kingdom is. It's something you have to experience for yourself. And it's easy to experience it for yourself because the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God has nothing to do with stuff. It has to do with righteousness, joy, peace, and love. I can't even explain the whole righteousness thing. First of all, because we all look at righteousness as an action. And it's not. It's an attribute. It's a characteristic. It's what we are, not what we do. And we have all of this because of our faith. Ephesians 3, verse 17. I'm really slow today in my Bible. So let's go there. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. Love through faith. 1 Peter 1:8. I was going to base it on him, I think, because this is... Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. It's not based on seeing him. Everyone, I've heard so many times, I see it on Facebook. Oh, I would love to be able to see Jesus and have him just be in the room. But he says straight out to Thomas, he said, blessed are you, Thomas, because you have seen and you believe. But more blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. Because though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Wow, praise God, I don't see Jesus here physically. You don't expect to hear that in church. We have him here in the spirit, in our belief, in our faith. And that's what the key is. Philippians 4, verse 6. I'm trying to turn there just so you know that I'm going to the Bible. I don't know what's wrong with my fingers right now. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. If you pray without faith, all you're doing is making words and talking. Can't help it. That's how it is. So when you sit down for your meal and you say, Lord, bless this food, do you do it with faith that he actually does what he's asked? What you're asking him? Or are you just praying it because that's what you've always done? How many times do you sit down at in a group of table and somebody takes a bite and the person who's praying says, and bless the food that they've already taken? I know it's possible that toes are being stepped on. But doesn't God say that he knows your heart before you speak? The speaking is important, but it's the heart. And what you've done when you've said that to that in that prayer, more often than not, you've brought condemnation on that person for eating. This kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking. Give thanks for your food, yes. But he's already promised, because you're a child of God, it is blessed. He says that those who believe in me will take poison and it will not affect them. Why do I have to bless it then? Because it already has been. We give thanks for it. And it says that in the Word. It says, give thanks for your food. Be thankful in your heart. But don't condemn someone because they've taken a bite before we give thanks. Before someone says grace. Your pastor's just a different guy. Can't help it. The prayer is done with faith. And what happens with when your prayer is done with faith? Peace. Don't just haphazardly throw out a prayer. Even when, those of you who are on the prayer chain, when you get that prayer, don't just say the words. Actually, be in faith. In fact, you're supposed to be in faith all the time. And you should be in faith so much that you are careful about your words. Because the Bible says that if you have faith, then what you ask for is received. That means everything that I say could either be a blessing or a curse. And if it's done in faith, and we're supposed to be in faith all the time. So try to be mindful of your words, because the power of life and death is in the tongue. And we have to, I'm talking to this guy here too. This is not me just saying there's a wall here and it's you guys and me. No. I speak these things because I'm working on it too. We all need this lesson. What do we say? How do you say it? But more often than not, we let our mouth go before our brain kicks in. And we let our brain kick in before our spirit kicks in. But if we would reverse that completely and have our spirit first and then our mind and then our mouth, we would live in a better place. Going a lot of tangents. So then righteousness. So we talked about the love through faith, Ephesians 3:17, believe in him for joy, 1 Peter 1:8. The true prayer is done with faith and we receive peace, Philippians 4 and 6. But then Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. Living by faith. Everything we do to be done in faith. Those of you in school of any kind, you come to write your quizzes or your exams. Live by faith. Write it in faith. Those of you who work, work it in faith. No matter what you do, you can be like Joseph, that everything your hand touches becomes blessed. So no matter where you work, you could be in the medical field. You could be a mechanic. You could be a carpenter. You could work at the mill. You could be someone who works with numbers. And everything you touch is blessed. Do you know what kind of a blessing you could be to your clients if everything you touch is blessed? Just think about a banker. Someone who works at the bank, a teller. Let's go with the teller. I don't know that we have any tellers here. But you start to do your work in faith, and the people's accounts that you touch can it be? With man, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Those of you who work in the medical field, you don't even have to pray a prayer over them. All you have to do is touch them. Everything the hand touches is blessed. Those of you who work on physical equipment of any kind, whether it be the mechanic or the carpenter, those things that you touch can be blessed. It says that the promises of Abraham included his entire herd and possessions. That means your car could be completely healthy. I've told you the stories about our cats, and it still amazes me. Max, the one that really likes me lots, Sherman puts up with me. Max loves me. You can just ask the family. They'll tell you the stories. He was on his deathbed. You could see it on him. And we prayed. But we didn't just say the words. Jen was actually going to write a book about it. A children's book. Just so that the glory of God could be there. That look what the Lord has done. And he still is nice and strong. Fairly few mornings, the cats won't show up at the door. What's that?
He was looking for you today.
You'd left. Yeah, he was. Max didn't come in before I left, and he was looking for me. He usually runs to the bed and jumps up because he likes to snuggle with me just before I wake up. It's really cute. I have pictures, but never mind. It's crazy, I know, but it's the way it is. They don't show up, and I'll usually step outside and say, Lord, you've promised. My herd is protected. My cats are my herd. They're part of the family. Usually within about 15 minutes, they're at the door. Not always. They always have shown up. You might say, well, that's just cats. Okay. Sure. I believe it's God. All of this, the righteousness, the love, the joy, the peace, is supposed to be in your midst. It's supposed to be within you. Why? The kingdom of God is within you. Righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. Faith, love. The kingdom of God. How is it possible? Well, in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. We will turn there. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. The mirror of Christ. We are transformed to what we see. This is where I need to tell you, it doesn't matter what I believe in your life, but it doesn't matter what you believe in my life. You might believe that it's just cats. I believe it's God and his favor upon me. There are some people that don't believe in the whole, you'd pull up to a place and the parking spot is right there. I believe that it happens. And quite regularly. You might not believe in the provision. I do. You might not believe in healing. I do. But it doesn't matter what I believe in your life. It matters what you believe. Because otherwise we could all take Thomas's position. Lord, I believe because I see. And there might be times and throughout your entire life that you do not see the things happening. Do you still believe? Do you believe your circumstances and the stuff that's happening around you? Or do you believe what the Word of God says? Because as Terrell said earlier today, it's about getting into the Word, finding out what you believe. It's not what about other people. It's not about what I preach about from up here. You need to find out for yourself through the Word what you believe. But when you believe, you look into that mirror, the Word of God, and you see Christ, and you are transformed into that very image. Wow! What a powerful thing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. This one has been on my heart for a while. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, some people might take that then out, and then they say, you also will be revealed with him in glory, thinking that that's in the future when you've reached the heavenly realm. But that then word means that when Christ is revealed, then I will be revealed with him in glory. Glory being the reputation, the personality, the characteristic of God. And it's in that that we are revealed. And when is it? When it's revealed in my life who Christ is, then I am revealed as to who Christ is in my life. This can be further seen in 1 John 3. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared what we will be, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. So let's just dissect this a little bit. Other translations do use the word revealed, and I checked in the Greek, and it can be appear or reveal. Because it's just a revelation that happens. Now we are children of God. But it's not appeared as yet what we will be. So you could look at that, and you might be in this camp that says that that's going to be what we are seeing in the future when we die and we have heavenly bodies. But then it says, we know that when he appears or when he is revealed, we will be like him. We just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that we look in the mirror and we are transformed into what he is. And then we will be like him because we will see him as he is. It's how he is revealed to you that you see him. So then turn to 1 John 4:17. And I've told you before, if I had my other Bible, I'd show you that I have a line from 1 John 3:2 to 1 John 4:17. And I have arrows. Because here it says, we have come to know. Oh, that's 16. Let's go to 17. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. The key, we are as he is in this world. Not in the world to come. So that means he needs to be revealed to us in this world. And as he's revealed to you in this world, you become like him in this world because you've seen him and revealed himself to you in the Word, in the mirror. It's not about just one verse here, one verse there, and oh yes, that's happy, joy, joy. No. It's looking into the Word and seeing how does this correlate with the rest of Scripture. Now, if you remember when we went through the tabernacle series, and I'm still debating on whether we'll go back into it again or not, we talked about the laver. The laver, which is where you get cleaned after this whole sacrifice system. And it's the cleaning off of the guilt, and it's the cleaning off of the blood that was spilt on the with the sacrifice. And it was done there as a washing. And Jesus says in Ephesians chapter 5 that it's the washing of the word. And we talked about it last week where it says you are already clean with the word that I've spoken to you. But then you look at that laver, and this is where I found it so amazing how God has orchestrated everything right from the get-go. Because you look at that laver and it's made, I think, of bronze. But it's made from the bronze from the mirrors of the ladies. And so when you wash yourself with the word, which is the mirror, you see him as he is. And then we are transformed into what he is. When we first get into Christianity, when you became born again, what happened? You saw it in the word that said, I need to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That I need to be born again in order to see the kingdom. And we see these things in the word and we're like, that's what I want. And you see it in the word in the mirror. And in a moment, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, you were transformed from a sinner that was destined for death into life. Why? Because you saw it in the word and you were transformed. And just as he is, so am I in this world. Because he took on my sin and I took on his righteousness. You wonder why I use a lot of scripture in my sermons? It's so that you can see that it's all through scripture. That we are his righteousness. That we are being transformed into his very image. But it takes us to study it. Not just listening to some guy preach on it every Sunday. Hopefully what I say will help convince. But it has nothing to do with my words. It has to do with the power of God. The kingdom of God, which is in me, which is in you. So now, let's combine it all, and I think I've already done this, but it's written in my notes, so I'm going to do it. As we look into the mirror, the word of God, Jesus was revealed to us. It's called a revelation. And we see as he is. The revelation of Jesus transforms us into that very image. And as we transform, we reveal that image of ourselves to our world. This is exactly what happened at your salvation. But it works the same in other areas of your life as well. So let's go through the names of God. I've preached this message. You can go back and look at it. It was in 2018, I think in January. Why do I know that? Because I looked. But I can't remember the exact date. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Rapha, he's our healer. Jehovah Nissi, he's our banner. Jehovah Shalom, he's our peace. Jehovah Raha, he's our shepherd. Jehovah Zidkenu, he's our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, he is present with us always. And you see these things. These are the names of God. This isn't what he does. This is his name. Jehovah Shammah, God present with me. Jehovah Shalom, God, peace with me. But then there's one that is not quite often talked about. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus, my Messiah. That's the Hebrew word. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus, the Messiah. But you look at that first word, Yeshua. Jehovah Shua. Joshua. Yeshua. God, my salvation. God, the one who saves. Yeshua. We have an easy time believing in that one. Jesus saves me. I'm saved. I have salvation. But how about Jehovah Tsidkenu? He's my righteousness. He is righteousness. Jehovah Shalom. He's my peace. Really, he is my everything. Because when you say the word Shalom, it just doesn't mean peace. It's actually, when a Jewish person comes to you and says Shalom, he's saying, may God grant to you everything that you are in need of in this world so that you can have his peace. They condense it to Shalom. Powerful words. Jehovah Jireh is how we say it, but it's Jehovah Yireh, my provider. He's the one that provides. We've talked about that already today. But when you come to the revelation through the Word of God of what that means, and if you study out his provision, it's always to the extent of abundance. You look at the Jewish system of provision. And I really wish that I had a farmer who's tested this out. They were told for 6 years they planted their crops and they harvested it. In the sixth year, they would get double. So that in the seventh year, they could rest and let the ground rest and they could just bask in God's provision. Now, I know there are some people who rotate their crops, but there's nowhere in Scripture that says rotate your crops. It says don't work in that seventh year. Now, let's just go on and think about this. So you have 7 times 7 is 49. So for the 49th year is another seventh year. But the 50th year is the year of Jubilee. And in the 50th year, they weren't allowed to do anything. In fact, even when you had a debt, it got paid back on that year. Without you doing anything, it was just completely forgiven. On the 50th year, the year of Jubilee. So you think on it, on the 48th year, the harvest had to provide for the 49th year, the 50th year, and most of the 51st, because they still had to plant and harvest it. God is your provider. It honestly has nothing to do with what you've planted. It just has to do with the fact that you've planted. That's how he's saying it. When you look at when the manna was provided, they were provided enough food for the next day, but there was always leftovers, because if they picked more than what they could eat, it got rotten the next day. But not on the sixth and seventh day. God's provision. Do you trust God enough with your provision to try it? That's between you and God, not me. I don't know that I would have the faith. I want to have the faith, but I don't know that I have it. Because we live in such a society. But those are his promises. His promises. You want to know what it really says in one of the scriptures? Don't know if I should bring it up. Proverbs 10:22. It says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. He says that he enjoys the prosperity of his saints. It goes on and on. But you have to actually study it out and come to the point of believing it. You can't just base it on the fact that I've preached it, or that other preachers have preached it, or that other preachers have preached against it. You need to see it for yourself. Well, but Pastor Corey, blessed are the poor. No, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's hard teaching because not all of us live in it. Not all of us have seen it. Not all of us have understood it. But Pastor Corey, we're in a recession. Well, sorry, did I say those words? Isaac. Isaac, in the time of famine, it says, in the time of great famine, such as has never been seen before, Isaac planted crops and had a herd that was so blessed that the king asked him to leave because he was scared of him. In the time of famine. It even says that his crops were 100-fold, 100 times what it should have been. One seed, just think on this, how big is that head of that grain to have 100-fold? That's in the book of Genesis. You'll have to study it out. It's where it talks about Isaac, obviously. It's in the 20s, but I can't remember which one. These things are God's name. It's not just what he does. It's his character. It's his attributes. It's who he is. He can't go against it. What it takes is our faith in him in regards to that. How do you get that? You look in the Bible. You see it in the Word. You see it in the mirror. And as you see it in the mirror, you see him as he is. It's revealed to you. It's a revelation. You see this thing, and it transforms you into what you see. And then as he is, so are you in this world. His reputation is standing on it. You need to have a revelation of these things in the Word of God so that these things can be revealed in your world. Could this be what Jesus was talking about in saying, "Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven"? And so we pray together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." God bless you richly this week. May you experience and may you show the kingdom of God in your world. Please join us on Wednesday at 7 for the gathering. And don't forget, during the weekdays, 8 o'clock, Facebook and YouTube, the Make It Personal with Pastor Terrell. God bless you richly.